Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Come on in, come on in. I know there's a few in the back. We're about ready to start our service. We've got a pretty big service plan this morning, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart for this morning. We're still getting a few things ready. Well, we're going to get our services started with a song as we normally do. There's a few things still being arranged, but if you guys want to go ahead and stand, let's get our services started this morning.
Are you ready?
All right. Here we go. We're going to start our service with Glorious Day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I made you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, cause when you call my name, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Hallelujah. I pray if you're still locked in that grave that you'll find the Lord and get out of it today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's good seeing everybody this morning. I know it's a wet and muddy, rainy morning. Some of you folks come and told me about the hail at your house. I'm sorry that there was hail and things of that nature, but praise God for the rain anyway. Amen? Amen. Good seeing everybody, as I said. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We also need to remember to pray for David this morning. He is preaching at Passion Church today, and he asked if we would pray for him to be able to convey God's message. Amen? Amen? So let's lift him as well. And also, Brody's pretty ill, so we need to continue to pray for Brody as well. And just, guys, pray for one another too. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go, Lord. Father God, we come before you this morning with thankful and open hearts, knowing that you are Lord of lords, King of kings, and that you are sitting on that throne, and you know what's best and what's right. May we totally put this service in your hands to guide, to direct. And Father, I pray it all glorifies you. May we be blessed and may it edify one another. But most of all, may it glorify you to where you can sit and look down and say, those are my children in Sutherland Springs, praising my name and remembering me. Father, may your will be done in this house today. And God, if there is one here, for whatever reason, they have not surrendered their heart to you, they're still in that grave. May they hear your voice. May they hear you call. And may they come running out into your arms, Lord. May your will be done, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good seeing everybody this morning. Walk around a second. Shake somebody's hand. Just let them know it's good to see them in God's house today.
Four count. Here we go. Happy day. One, two, three, four. Yeah, on me. Listen. One, two, three, four.
Greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. It's alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. It's so. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. What a glorious, glorious day. Forever I am changed.
That Hallelujah. Give God the glory this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should say happy day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good seeing everybody this morning. We are very light in here today, and I guess the rain and everything has got folks staying home, so we'll just continue to pray for them as well. But it's good seeing everybody this morning. Just a few announcements I want to get a hold of. As you see, things are set up a little differently than normal. We're going to have a blessing here this morning, also the Lord's Supper a little bit later. I pray that you'll be praying about that now to get your heart right with that. Guys, just whatever it is today, just keep looking up. Amen? Enjoy the rain. Enjoy this rain. Praise God. It's a great thing. Pardon me? That's right. Yeah. Amen. All right, just a few announcements real quick. In your bulletin, there's a few things there. Vacation Bible School has a list in there of things that they are still looking for. That if you would like to donate those, that would be wonderful. Another ladies Bible study is starting up on Monday, April 15th. The Voice of God for Shayla Schreier. And I think Sherry Kay is teaching that. So Officer Sherry Kay over here. Okay. All right. I did that on purpose. See, I wouldn't say that to Gunny. I'd get in trouble.
Sorry, Gunny.
That's right. Also, Forgiven Ministries, we have a date coming up April 13th for that. That is the one day with God camps in the prison ministry, if you'd like to be a part of that. And this Friday, the Blackwood Gospel Quartet will be singing in Stockdale. So if you would like to go to that, that is on Friday. There's been flyers hanging up around the church. So quite a few announcements. There's many in there that I did not mention this morning as well. Be in prayer for those. We do have those who are ill. We have those who are battling hail damage this morning. Make sure you be keeping them in your prayers. But guys, no matter what, let's just keep looking up together. We're going to forego the scripture reading this morning because of other things that are going on today. And guys, let's just all stand, and we're going to go to a quick prayer, and then we're going to turn it back over to Chris to lead us in more worship. Father God, I do come before you again and thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And it is a happy day. Whether it's rain on the ground or not, it's a happy day by knowing who you are. So, Father, I pray your blessings to be upon us, and may we continue to glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Chris.
Crown him with many crowns.
Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem grounds. All music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. All eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet there flies a paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible. throughout eternity. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint, let every nation shout of your faith. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for a king, we sing, even so. Lord Jesus, come, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for a king, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus. So come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. So we wait, you're coming soon. So we God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for a king, we sing. Like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be a church, we'll be ready for you. Every heart longing for a king, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come, even so come. Lord Jesus, come, even so come, Lord Jesus, come, even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Have a seat if you want. We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give, or the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can't leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. So soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed and been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down.
You've got another round. Amen. Amen. Daryl? Of it.
Okay. They're bringing a table right now. Yeah, I might just move it to the side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be in God's house? And I think it's always good whenever we can see our young people get involved. Amen? What a wonderful skit. Thank you, everybody. Give God the glory one more time. Amen? Amen. And as you see coming before you right now, we were talking earlier in the week that we were bringing forth and doing the taking part of the Lord's Supper this morning. And I choose to do the actual partaking of the Lord's Supper at the end to make sure that our hearts are where they're supposed to be. If you would, turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 this morning. As you're turning there, I was thinking, I tend to sometimes collect coffee cups. And as I do, Sherry gives them away, and I go to try to find them. Where are they at now? We had too many. Ah, I was collecting those. And she continually goes through those cups. My favorite one right now, Matt will appreciate that, is my black sheep cup. I don't know why, I just think it's a cool cup. You know, everything about it's a cool cup. But I was thinking about the Lord's Supper this morning, and started thinking about cups. And, you know, I have sipped coffee from some really nice cups before. And to me, the same coffee tastes better in a better cup. Now, I know that's just mental. I know that's kind of weird. But I have had coffee that it didn't matter what the cup tasted like, it was going to be bad. Amen? You ever been to a store? You ever go to the store and you ask the attendant, is it fresh coffee in there today? And they say, oh yeah, I just made it this morning. But it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're thinking, this kid's never tasted coffee, obviously, because it's going to be so stout, so bitter. It's going to take a real man, you know, or Miss Sheila to be able to drink it. If you've never had Miss Sheila's coffee, you would know exactly what I meant. She likes it strong. But when we think of cups, there's all kinds of different cups that we partake of. I remember Dr. Dobson in one of his magazines, he had a cartoon, and here was this, he was talking about parenting, but here was this mother, and she was sitting there, and she is dressed incredibly elegantly, and she's holding a cup of coffee with her little fingers sticking out, and you know, everything just looked like this woman's got everything. Her fingers daintily to the side, her face reveals this incredible self-confidence. But then you look a little closer, what unfortunately the woman didn't see was that her slip had fell down around her ankles. And the caption underneath the cartoon says, confidence is what you have before you realize and understand the situation you're in. And I thought, how choice that is. We tend to oftentimes get confident in our own abilities. We get confident and it shows on our face, and we don't even realize just how dire the situation may be. We don't realize the cup that we are drinking from right then. And all of a sudden, it all comes clear to us. It's kind of like we put a lot of stock and onus in legends. When I think of the cup too, you think of if you remember, I'm sure everybody at one time or another has heard of the legend of the Holy Grail. In one fashion, one storyline, whether it's something deep and dire or whether it's Monty Python, we've all heard of the Holy Grail at some point in our lives. That is a legend that was pursuing a cup. And they believed it was the cup that the Lord's Supper was first dined with, that the Holy Grail is the cup of the Lord. Now, one of my degrees is in medieval Renaissance studies, and I've studied many of the different ideas as to what the cup was. But the literal meaning was that it was an actual chalice that the Lord drank the Lord's Supper from. Well, the question that I would ask there is that if we had that cup, if we really had that cup, not a coffee cup, not one that breeds confidence, but if we had the cup that the Lord drank out of that first supper, would it enhance our observance of the communion? And I would submit to you that it would not. It's just a cup. But we do have something that does enhance the Lord's Supper for you and I, and that is the Spirit of an all-living God. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we partake of the Lord's Supper, communion if you will, then that Spirit moves within us and that Spirit speaks within us. Jesus said, I drink it anew. In other words, with you in the kingdom of God. In other words, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're not just remembering him. We are actually knowing that he's right there with us in glory, partaking with us. He is doing, it is a communion. Us with him, he with us, and through his Spirit, when we acknowledge the Spirit of an almighty God in the midst of our communion, then we acknowledge that what he has done for us, that he has died for us. Now, we have all drank from many different cups in our lifetime. And I don't mean this, the literal cup as much as the figurative. We've all had the cup of selfishness. We've all had the cup of pleasure, pride, anger. Whatever that cup may be that has sat before us. I know some of us have drank from that cup of unbelief. Some of us have drank from the cup of unfaithfulness. Whatever it is, I want you to put all that to the side this morning. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures. If you're one of those that takes notes or you have a pencil, you might want to write these passages of scripture down. But I want us to really together taste of the cup of Jesus Christ together this morning. In Matthew 26 is where we're going to start. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, from this moment, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in a new way in my Father's kingdom with you. When he drinks it in his Father's kingdom with us. Hallelujah. He gave him the cup and he said thanks. He gave thanks over the wine within that cup. And he said, now all of you drink from this cup. This is important that we understand. That is one reason why we call it communion, and that's what we're looking at today. What are we communing with? He said that all of us, the cup is spoken of oftentimes throughout Scripture. Figuratively, the image of a cup expresses several important things, but the most important thing when we think of the cup is the sacrificial death of Christ. So when God says that all of us should drink from that, he's saying that all of us need to partake of that sacrificial death. For the wages of sin is death, and there is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. But he shed that blood on the cross, and he's telling us through the Lord's Supper, through that communion, that all of us should drink from that cup. All of us should drink from that knowledge, from that sacrifice that was made, so that we can have eternal glory. Now, in the Jewish tradition of the Passover, three cups were being passed around. The last cup that was being passed around, which is we refer to it the Lord's Supper cup as well, is called the cup of blessings. Folks, the cup of blessing of Christ, for you and I, we could also call it the cup of sacrifice. That cup was shared, when he shared that with those first apostles, when he has shared it with you and I and throughout the years ever since that first time, he is sharing with us the sacrifice. Verse 27 that we just read there, Jesus is saying, I, this is a new covenant that I'm making with you. It is with between all of us through his blood. That covenant was made so that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is a communion. It is us coming to say that I truly believe that Jesus died, that he put himself in the place of my sins. It's not just a ritualistic thing. People have asked, why don't you do the Lord's Supper more often? Or why don't we just do it every Sunday? Because I would never, ever want this to ever become a ritual. It's not something that we should just do because it's something we have to do. It is not something that should become a vain repetition. The whole purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper is to draw in closer and commune with the Lord and take of the cup of sacrifice and realize how much he sacrificed so that you and I can have freedom. And I'm not just talking about freedom that we enjoy in this country, the freedom from the shackles of sin. My brother Shane, in the play just a moment ago, I saw he was carrying them chains. Those are literal chains we could see. But as hard and as rough and as ugly as those chains are nothing compared to the chains that this world ties to you, that if you don't allow the blood of Christ to break, that are pulling you down and you've lost your freedom. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're taking of what he has given us between his blood to break those chains free. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 15, notice what Paul is saying here. He said, I am speaking to you as wise people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, who we are many are one body. For all of us share that one bread. Folks, communion, when we come together, the other thing people have asked me in the past, why do you have everybody wait and we take of the bread all at one time, or we take of the wine all at one time? Because we are one body. Because we are in unity, in communion, all of us together in the arms and eyes of Christ. And as a body, we take of the bread. As a body, we take of the wine. Why? Because we are all as one body coming into communion with God. You see, folks, when a believer participates in the Lord's Supper, we are actually partaking of the death of Christ on the cross. We are acknowledging what has happened. That's why we call it communion, because we are communing with Christ. We are sharing and participating in the benefits of Christ's saving work on Calvary. Now, we give evangelistic messages, and I've preached evangelistic messages, and I've preached where you've heard the gospel at one time or another. But guys, that gospel means nothing if we don't recognize that it was through the suffering of the Lord. I think we get so used to hearing the message, we get so used to hearing the gospel, we forget the poignancy of what Christ did that day. We forget the poignancy of the blood that was shared and that was spilled that day. That was sinless blood that was shared for you and I. And he says, now do this in remembrance of what I've done for you. We are partaking of that saving work. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should be thanking him and praising him. I don't have to hang on a cross, and even if I did, my blood wouldn't be worthy. But you chose to go to that cross for me. And you said that as often as I remember, I can take of the wine and take of the bread, and you're going to do it anew right there in heaven. And we're going to be in communion one with another. Hallelujah. There's a poem by Jeannie Hussing. It says, may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even your grief to share, because thou hast borne it all for me. Hallelujah. If we recognize, not just that here and there, if we truly understood every day what God has borne for us, we would realize it's not about individual communion. It is communion with the brothers and sisters of God. That's why I don't want to forsake the assembling one with another, because I can come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and as one body look up and say, thank you, Jesus. You see, when a church comes together for the Lord's Supper such as this, it is communion not just with the Lord, it's with one another. And we are acknowledging as a body, this is where I'm at. There's no anger, there's no unforgiveness, there's no ugliness. We truly want the love and the warmth of Christ to be seen in us. Remember what Jesus said, you'll know my people by the love they have for one another. When our heart is right before the Lord's table, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, our heart isn't going to be able to harbor the anxiety and the ugliness towards one another, because in reality, if we're truly taking the Lord's Supper in a way that it was meant to be, that we understand I am in communion with the one who died for me, when I take of the Lord's Supper and know that I'm acknowledging that a death had to take place so that I could be free, when I take of the Lord's Supper and realize and recognize that I am doing this not out of tradition or just because it's something I'm supposed to do, when I take of the Lord's Supper, I am taking a part of my Christ. I am coming into his presence. I am remembering what he has done for me. And as one body, we're going to forget all the grudges and the ungodliness, because we're going to show the love we have for one another by showing the love we have for him. That's why he desires our hearts to be pure. That's why our hearts need to be at a place where we can come before him and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because God asks all of us there in Matthew. He asked every one of us, he said, drink from this cup that I have sacrificed for the church. We are the church, guys. You, me, and anyone else who has truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the church. Does that mean we're perfect? No. I fall down quite regularly. I do lots of stupid things. I was talking to a young lady earlier this week who said that she is sorry she hasn't been to church in a little while. She lives in Austin, but she said, I just don't feel like I'm worthy to come to y'all's church. And I had to express to her, I said, honey, there's not a one of us here that's worthy to be in that church. But we come anyway because we recognize and realize that none of us are worthy, but we'll handle it together in the arms of God, and we're going to keep moving forward. And we'd love for you to come back and join us again. Guys, none of us are worthy. But when I recognize and put my faith in the one who is and was and will always be, he says, my blood is sufficient, and he makes us worthy. All those of us who come to the Lord's table, guys, we are communing one with another. We are taking of one bread. We are of one body. We form the body. It is a celebration of a relationship, not just with him, but with each other. It is a constitution of a new covenant, not just with him, but with each other. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is something where we're saying and recognizing, thus saith the Lord. Jesus sacrificed so that we can have a new covenant. And I acknowledge that. You know, in our modern society, if someone wants to distribute their property after death, they call it a bequest. They bequest this property. And what does that mean? That means that someone who has much is going to be giving it to those who had none. And they're just readily to give that away. Folks, through the blood of Christ, that's what he's done. He already had sinlessness. He already had grace. He already had mercy. He already had entry into heaven. But he chose upon his death to become our sin. He that knew no sin became sin so that we can be washed by his blood. He bequested unto us a new relationship. We have been given a new covenant for the remission of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 24, verse 4, and Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early the next morning and set up an altar and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel at the base of the mountain. Then he sent out young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood, set it in basins. The other half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He then took the covenant scroll and read it aloud to the people. They responded, we will do and obey everything that the Lord has commanded. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. That was the picture of forgiveness. That was the picture that it took blood. But here's the difference between then and now. That blood was not sinless blood. It was not sinless of the human strain anyway. It was sacrificial blood, but it would only cover for a little while. It was saying, this is forgiveness, and we're going to have to do this every Passover. We're going to have to ask for forgiveness every year. Jesus came in his blood, the blood of Adam, if you will, that knew no sin, would be a once and for all sacrifice for whomsoever believed in him. Hallelujah. That picture of forgiveness that Moses put forth to the people in Exodus was carried out through Christ in the Gospels, and that sacrifice for forgiveness in the Gospels was once and forever. No one has to ever do it again because the first Adam failed. We have Exodus forgiveness, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he did not. He lived and he came and he did what he was supposed to do up to the point of death. You know, there's in Istanbul, there's a museum. I've never actually seen this cup in person, but I've seen it on TV, a very precious cup. In the center of this goblet, in the bottom, carved in gold, is a serpent. And this serpent has these ruby red eyes, and it's got diamond fangs, and it's carved in a position to where it looks like it's about to strike you. As you're drinking it, it looks like it's going to get you. When the goblet's filled with wine, you can't see it. You know, the ruby red liquid covers everything up when it's covered in wine. But as you're drinking it, all of a sudden that menacing appearance makes its way, and you're startled. All of a sudden that snake is about to strike. Folks, I'm going to submit to you this morning that when Jesus came and he drank of the cup of life for you and I, he drank it in full. He saw the serpent at the bottom of the cup, and he chose to drink it anyway. Calvary was the depths of that cup. That cup in Istanbul is just a card figurine. Jesus saw the true enemy. He saw the true serpent in the bottom of the cup that he was called on to drink, and he chose to do it anyway. The serpent had been lingering in his life all along, all through it, tempting him and trying to pull him astray. The intensity of evil was there, and Jesus saw it, and he recognized it, and it was real. But yet he continued to go through and sacrifice and surrender himself so that you and I can have freedom. The cup of Christ, the cup of sacrifice, was presented to Jesus, and he took it as a cup of surrender. You see, Jesus could have chose otherwise. Jesus could have chose to walk away. When he was in Gethsemane, which that actually means the olive press, the Garden of Olives there, he'd go there for peace sometimes, but he wasn't getting peace that night. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed and said, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know what the next verse says? The very next verse says he went again, a second time, and prayed and said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done." In other words, Jesus recognized and realized there's the serpent at the bottom of the cup. There is the evil that's going to come upon me. I, who know no sin, will have to become sin. You see, the prayer for the cup to pass wasn't because of Jesus' fear of death. There's been many martyrs who have faced terrible deaths and were able to do so gallantly. That wasn't what he was afraid of. Jesus was questioning the Father's necessity of drinking the cup because he that knew no sin was about to become sin. And he also knew that if he became sin, God the Father couldn't be in the presence. He should have walked away. He could have walked away if it was a man's view. But instead, he chose to carry out. He chose to drink the cup. God's divine wrath then comes, overwhelms him on the cross. Because of his surrender, because of his choice, "Not my will, but thine be done." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "In the awful anguish of the moment, the sin of the world was poured out upon him, and he became sin for you and I." Folks, I don't think we get that in our minds sometimes. I don't think we can comprehend just how horrible that is. Oh, I've actually heard illustrations, it's like stepping off into a septic tank. No, it's way worse than that. You can take a bath after that. There is no analogy that could comprehend and put together what it meant to Christ to become that sin. His total submission to the will of God the Father in his obedience caused us to be able to go and say we have salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, when the writer is putting it forth to you and I, he says, "Being found in this fashion," he's talking about Jesus, "as a man, he humbled himself." That's what it took, guys. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look that up, Philippians 2, 8. It doesn't just stop, says that he was obedient unto death, comma, even death unto the cross. You know what that means? Because the cross was a horrid, horrid thing to die upon. It wasn't just that he was going to follow into death. He was going to be crucified on a wooden on this old tree. And then he was going to have the sins of man piled upon him. But in his humility, he was choosing to follow the Lord, the Heavenly Father, in obedience. And he surrendered himself to the will of God. And he said, "God, if there's any other way, but yet not my will, thine be done, I'll drink of the cup." And then what does he say to us in our text this morning? He says, "I require and desire all of you to drink from the cup." Do you see what I'm trying to point out here, guys? Jesus gave us an example. He's not saying that life is going to be peachy and rosy if you partake of the Lord's Supper. It's going to be hard and rough sometimes. He's not saying that all of a sudden you're going to have fireworks in the sky because you partook. He's saying, do as the Father wills. I humbled myself and followed in obedience even unto death. And now he says, as I drink of the cup anew, we have communion one with another. What he's asking you and I to do is in obedience, remember what he has done for us and say, not my will, but thine be done. Surrender. Surrender means putting aside our own desires, putting aside our own plans, putting aside our own wants. Surrender means returning to the Father's desires, wants, and plans. It may not be exactly how you want it. It may not be exactly the way you thought it should be. It may cost you something. It may hurt. You may even be persecuted. His cup may be a cup of sorrow. It may be a cup of disappointment at times. It may be a cup of persecution. But yet when we are done, we should look up and say, yet not my will, but thine be done. That's the purpose of the Lord's Supper, guys. Not a ritualistic thing we do because it's a duty of the church. It's not a ritualistic thing that we do because Jesus said, I have to. He's saying, when you remember that I told the Father, not my will, but thine be done, I want you to do this in remembrance of what I did for you. And in that remembrance, do the same unto me. Not my will, but thine be done. I wish I could tell you, as your pastor, that's what I always do. But I don't. I am a red-blooded American male. Cars, motorcycles, and women have always been a fault. But thank God, my God's bigger. My God's bigger. And I can say, not my will. Because sometimes my will says, nobody will know. My will says, oh, come on, make it a little bit faster. Oh, you know, just sign your name. They'll give it to you right today. And I have to stop and say, not my will, but thine be done. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering that day that Jesus was in the garden and he said, not my will, but thine be done. You know, there were those, I brought this up in Sunday school a while ago as well, but you know, the mother and her two sons, James and John, they come and to Jesus say, I want my boys, I want one to sit on one side of you and I want my other one to sit on the other side of you. And when you come into your kingdom in glory, they let them be your lieutenants. Let them sit to your right and your left. And Jesus looks at him and says, do you know what you're asking me? Do you realize what you're saying? Do you think that you can be baptized with the same baptism that I'm being baptized with? Do you realize what you're thinking here? And then what did they say? Oh, yeah, we're able. I can do that. We're ready to go wherever you are. But yet both times he was needing them to pray for him, they were asleep. They fell asleep, but Jesus did not. He went back to the garden. I mean, he went back to his knees. And said, Father, if there's any other way. I think so many times, just like James and John were asleep, we fall asleep in our sin. We fall asleep and forget who we are. Matthew 23:25 says, woe unto you, you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're clean on the outside of your cup and platter, but within, you're covered with extortion and excess. And then the next verse says, thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is coming from within so that the outside may be clean also. Folks, what proceeds out of a man's mouth is what abides within a man's heart. And it's for that reason that God calls us out on that. He says, take of my cup. For when you drink of this wine, it represents the blood of my body. In other words, that cleansing blood that we talk about that we are in, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God, we are. But you know, when we ingest the wine, it doesn't transmutate. It doesn't turn into the blood of Christ. It represents the blood of Christ going on the inside. And as the blood of Christ is going on the inside of me, I should recognize it should be cleansing my heart and cleansing me. I should right now be getting my heart. I need to be where I need to be for the Lord. We need to ask ourselves this morning, are we asleep? Are we slacking? Have we turned the Lord's Supper into a ritual? Have we just taken the grace of God and His glory for us for granted? Have we taken that sacrifice on that hill of Calvary and made it just a two-bit prayer? If it was important enough for Jesus to get on his knees and say, "Yet not my will, but thine be done," that should get our attention. But when he goes a second time and he's sweating drops of blood and he realizes, "I am going to become the sin of the world. God, is there any other way? But yet, not my will, thine be done." You know, I was driving home from Wyoming one night. We had been hunting, Jeremy and Mark and I. It was about 3 in the morning, and I'm driving home, and Mark had a couple hours earlier asked me, "You all right?" "Yeah, I'm good." And I'm thinking everything's great, and next thing I know, my big truck was off in the median and down on the side, and it got real ugly. Now, we pulled it back out, and once everybody got out and kind of took a few breaths, like, "Oh, we're good. Another story on the hunting trip." But it could have been bad. It could have been ugly. I should not have been trying to drive when I was that much asleep. And people say, "Well, why wasn't Mark driving?" I fooled him. I told him, "Yeah, I'm good." You might be able to fool me, but you're really asleep. You may look like you're wide awake to me, but God knows your heart's not where it's supposed to be. We are about to partake of the Lord's Supper. And what I would ask you this morning is, are you awake? Are you awake to the sins and the things in your life that God's telling you to get straight? Maybe he's telling you to clear that clutter out of your heart. It's time to go to him right now, right where you're sitting, and say, "Father, forgive me, for I have been angry and ugly to so-and-so. I've been holding a grudge. I've been treating others very poorly. I've been letting my mouth outrun my mind or outrun my heart." Whatever it is this morning, you can't fool God. Now, the great thing is, we've been purchased by his blood. And he loves us. And he's not going to forsake us. If you're here this morning and you have that animosity and those hurdles in your heart, he says, "You put that before me. I'll clean it up." Why? Because I want you to drink of this cup. I want you to eat of this bread. I want you to remember the covenant that I have made with you. I want you to commune with me and with the body of believers. And together we're going to fight this battle. And even though you have this animosity and ugliness in your life, I can get rid of it. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, who's driving our lives? Are we doing it ourselves, or are we saying, "Not my will, but thine be done"? So the question is simple this morning, guys. Will you wake up? Will you open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and taste the cup of Christ? Don't sit and debate, "Well, is it really wine or is it grape juice? Oh, I like white wine. I don't like dark." Or vice versa. Don't, that's not what this is about. Is your heart right with God? Are you truly ready to say, "I follow in obedience, for it's not my will, but thine be done"? That's what this is about. Not ritual. It's not about just something I have to do, a duty in the church. When I partake of the Lord's Supper, I am saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." I want to share one more passage of scripture with you this morning before we pray. In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Morgan, I don't know if I gave you that one or not. I did? Oh, awesome. Starting in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord himself. So a man should examine himself, and in this way he should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So here's the thing this morning, guys. It's not about you and me. It's not between you and me. It's not about trying to impress one another. This is between you and the Lord today. And if you say, "You know, I have ought against my brother, And I need to get that straight. Now, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper till I do that. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door and beating you on the head. They may ask you, can we pray for you or something like that? But this is between you and the Lord this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to say, Father, not my will, thine be done? Now, first thing you got to know Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is nothing but home-cooked bread and grape juice to you. For you are not a part of the covenant. Jesus said that whomsoever believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you truly believe that, if he said that if you believe he is the Son of God and he defeated death, hell, and the grave and he rose again on the third day, so shall you be saved. It's not a special prayer. God hears your heart. Sure, I can help lead you in voicing what it says, but God knows your heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's first and foremost. If you do know him, then I would say, are you ready? Are you ready to say, not my will, but thine be done? Are you ready to start living and showing grace and mercy to others? So many times we get crotchety and irritable and we start being mean. Well, you know, you got to do this and you have to do that and you ought to do this and you ought to do that. That's not what God said do. You'll know my people by the love you have for one another. Everything we say and do should be hinged with grace and mercy. But they're wrong. I don't care if they're wrong or not. When you take it into the way the world would handle it, now you're wrong. Now I got two wrong people rather than just the one that you could have possibly helped. Are you here this morning? And is there grace and mercy in your heart? Bottom line is this. Is your heart right with God? And if not, are you willing to make it right? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, are you ready to go to him and ask for his forgiveness this morning? As we partake of the Lord's Supper in a little while, if you're ready to say, not my will, but thine be done, then you are having communion with the Lord and with the body, and in one accord, we're saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Am I saying we're perfect? No. Am I saying you're to be perfect? Absolutely not. If I even had to be even a sliver of close to perfection, I wouldn't be worthy to step, or I'm not worthy to step foot in here. But because of the blood of Christ, I have been redeemed. You notice in the play earlier, I was going to say the kids, but the adults too, they were all holding up the sign. Some came as liars, some came as thieves, some were losers. All the different names were brought, but they turned it into Christ and they held up redeemed. That's what the blood of Christ does for me. What is your sign this morning? Now, I'm not talking about the funny guy. I'm not saying, here's your sign. I said, what's your sign for you this morning? Let's all stand. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. This altar will be open. If you need to come to this altar, you can come to this altar. You can pray right where you're at. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. But bottom line is, are you getting your heart right with the Lord today? Are you ready to do what the Lord's called you to do? As we pray this morning, Father God, I come before you today. Lord, I come before you and ask that you just be with everyone that's here this morning. May your will be done, Father, in the hearts and the lives of your people. As we are searching our heart, Lord God, as we are looking into who we are and what we are for you, may we truly come to you for cleansing. May we truly come to you and say, Father, forgive us, for we fall short of your glory. We do some silly things, but yet you still love us. May we feel that grace and that mercy abound within us so much that it's going to overflow. And as you said, you'll know my people by the love they have for one another. May your love and mercy overflow from us to one another. And may thy will be done. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for what's about to transpire here this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If God's speaking to you this morning, they're about to sing. If God's telling you to sing, sing. If he's telling you to get on your knees where you're at and get your heart right before the Lord's Supper, do that. If he's telling you to come to this altar and get on your knees, do that. If he's telling you to just sit in your chair and look up, do that. But do what the Lord's telling you to do. Not my will, but whose? Thine's be done. His will. Amen. As we sing.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. In the Savior's love, through the storm, he is his Lord, Lord of all. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I live in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, a faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Sing Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak and made strong in the Savior.
That he is Lord of all in your life this morning. You'll grab a seat this morning and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And this is an opportunity, again, to understand and acknowledge that if this is not the time for you, if you feel as though that right now you would rather abstain and get something right between you and the Lord, that's between you and God. Please don't feel as though you need to partake of this because somebody's watching you. If they have a problem, God will deal with them. You deal with what God's dealing with you about. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask my men to come forward this morning that we talked about. Come on up. I think we got one too many. I think we got it, Ben. Was you on the list? Uh-oh.
One too many. I'll step out.
Okay. You want to step out? All right. Good deal. That put you in the middle. All right. As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, let me share a passage of Scripture with you guys. This is from Luke 22. And the day of unleavened bread came, and in which the Passover must be sacrificed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, make ready for the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where will thou make we make ready?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye enter the city, there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house whereinto he goes. And you shall say unto the master of the house, 'The teacher says unto you, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. There, make ready." And they went and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he received a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine of the kingdom of God, until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you." This morning, as I've been sharing, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. So I'm going to ask you this morning to, once you have a piece of this unleavened bread in your hands, to wait until everybody has it and the men are back up front, and then we will do this together. We will commune together, recognizing the communion we have as a body with the cause of Christ. So let's pray over the bread. Tim, would you pray over the bread?
Pray with me. Dear Lord, as we come to you for communion today as the body of Christ, I ask that we examine our hearts. Show us anything that's not pleasing to you. Any unconfessed sins, any unforgiveness, anything that would enter a relationship with you. The price you paid is covered for all time, and we desire to live for you. Take this bread, let us remember the supreme sacrifice you made for all our sins, past, present, and future. This time we take communion, let us recommit our lives and our hearts and our thoughts and everything to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
I'm still in your hands. This is
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
It says that he took bread and, having blessed it, broke it, gave to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which was given unto you. This is the bread." This is John 6:58. "That came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." On that same night, our Lord took the cup. Having blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the blood which was shed for you." Again, we will partake in unity as one body. Stormy, would you pray over the vine?
Father, thank you, Lord, that you thought enough of us to send your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you thought enough of us that you were willing to shed your blood.
Amen.
Let us remember what you sacrificed as we partake of this today as the body of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Mother, mother. see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You've made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and it says, according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. 1 John 1, 7, but if you walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. First Corinthians 11:26, as we shared just a moment ago. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're glad to be in God's house this morning, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Guys, we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. Take the cups with you. You can throw them away in the trash or something, or put them on your dashboard, whatever you want to do, but not the floor. But we have partaken of the Lord's Supper together this morning. And remember that this wasn't a ritual thing. This was an acknowledgement of not my will, but thine be done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for each one of you. Let's keep looking up. Let's all stand together. As we all are getting up and standing up together. Brother Rod, would you close us in prayer this morning?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried too high. He wants my tune till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you, you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Let's try this again. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a...
Now build it.
When I was broken, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
We're gonna get it right.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. You call me a citizen of heaven.
No, hit a crash cymbal, yeah. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open when you call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Just keep going, keep going. Don't stop. Called my name, and I ran out. No, keep going. Out of the, now stop here. Into your glorious day. The parts we practice the most. All right, anyway, remember, the chorus.